Right, hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3 FM.
Do you know what time it is?
It's time for Tom Ryan and Heidi Morales Ryan to talk our faces off. At least I do.
I know.
For the next hour.
You can do it for the two of us.
And you, well, you sit there and you correct me when I get wrong or dumb or when I misspeak. Because that is your specialty.
It is. Finally, I get to use my special powers.
Well, Heidi does that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we do this together on air only from 5 to 6 p.m.
Cheeky.
On Wednesday and Friday. And today being the Wednesday edition of American Radio, I was trying to decide a topic. I had a hard time with the topic today. Being May
again?
Of 2015, I had two different shows that I was debating back and forth. One of them, I was going to go all the way back to 1955,
mm-hmm.
which is weird now because that's 60 years ago.
Whoa.
It seemed like going back to like another century, you know, in one way. And I was weighing that against going back to May of 95. And not, for this show, anyway, 95 wins. Maybe we'll get back to the crazy early show before the month is out. But today, I want to focus on music from 20 years ago, which even that is actually now feeling like a little bit of a long time ago. I know Lord knows, we usually are going back 40 years to 75, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because 95, you know, listening to music from a specific time period usually will bring your mind back to what you were thinking at that time, if you happen to have been alive back then, if you were born
right.
Yet, you know? And when I think back to like 95, I remember at that time, it sort of felt as though, you know, musical innovation was sort of at a lull. It was stagnating.
Yes.
It didn't seem like there was much happening.
Very word.
I remember like describing anything that was around in 95 as being a hybrid. Oh, it's a cross between this and this. It wasn't as though anything was basically new on its own. And it's funny though, because now when I look back from 20 years later, this music does seem to be fairly unique for its time. I'm
okay.
Like, that's kind of surprising to me. I mean, everything that I picked today, I've got about six albums I'm going to try to cover, is so distinctly different from each other and really so completely unique to like the time that it came out that I'm wondering what I might have been thinking back then when all this was going on. It's also crazy to think how much music has changed since then. Because so like from then to now, I mean, you hear in this stuff from 95, genuine musicianship. You know, people play real instruments.
Shocking.
You know, there's no auto-tune on this stuff that's, you know, at least none that's totally obvious. I never would have guessed it, but now I look back and the music from 95 seems almost quaint. It's kind of funny. So let's get right into it, and we'll start picking a couple of tracks. One of the biggest albums from 20 years ago that was released in May 95 was a guy who really managed to get out only one full album in his lifetime. He released his debut. I think he released an EP. He released his debut, was preparing a second album, then jumped into the Mississippi River and drowned.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Buckley. It's crazy. Son of Tim Buckley, who Tim Buckley also had a relatively short career, but he at least got through about six albums in his lifetime and had quite a varied career. Each album that his dad released was quite different. Jeff, on the other hand, really just got this one record out and then poof. Gone in such a weird, you know, the happenstance way. But, you know, don't swim in the Mississippi. That's, I'll tell you, you know, when it comes to like anybody who could, you know, Heidi can tell you the
undertow is incredible.
Right. And it's swirling and it goes in hundreds of different directions. And you just don't know where you're going to end up if you jump in that river. So, yeah, I mean, lesson learned there.
Unless you plan on not coming back out, you don't want to do it.
Right. So all that being said, the album Grace still stands as sort of a rather extraordinary album of its time. It's sort of a love it or hate it proposition. Here's a track from the album Grace. It's called Mojo Pin.
Ooh. safe from harm. I still feel your hair, black ribbons of corn. Touch my skin to keep me home. Oh, if only you come back to me. Feel it at my side. Precious, precious silver and gold, and pearls and oysters, flesh. Drop down, we two to serve and pray to love. Born again from the rhythm, screaming down from heaven. Ageless.
The track is entitled Mojo Pin by Jeff Buckley, off of his only real studio CD that he was able to oversee till its fruition. All the other records, and there's a lot of them, they all came out posthumously. They had, there was a lot of stuff that he was working on, fragments, bits and pieces that were, had musicians overdub bits to it, had unfinished, you know, vocal lines and everything else that his family was compiling and releasing. And they're interesting. And such was Jeff Buckley's popularity from 95 that those subsequent albums did quite well.
Wow.
But it's pretty incredible to think, really, this is it. And I'm sure that most of that other stuff would never have come out as it was, of course, if had Buckley lived, because he just would have. He proved something with this record, Grace.
Yeah.
He proved that he could be incredibly pretentious in terms of, you know, his style and his songwriting, but also quite beautiful. I mean, it's an amazing mix of noise and melody in proportion. And it's not an easy thing to do with a voice that's almost that is really actually even more than angelic. For, you know, for a male singer to have his range is kind of stunning. Let's play one more track from the album before we move on. This is the song that got me into it, because I heard this and it had a sort of atonality to it. There was a slight off-kilter edge that really drew me in. It still is my favorite song on the album. This from the album Grace, and this is called So Real.
Sleep tonight on your couch. I remember the smell of the fabric of your simple city dress.
Thank you.
obviously he inherited his father's voice.
Yeah.
And just like his father was not afraid to use it, Jeff was obviously not either. One of those things that if you saw it live, it sort of like left you like totally gobsmacked. Like,
I'm
oh my
sure.
God.
What just happened?
How can really? It's just pretty incredible. He's missed. It's too bad. I mean, things could have been very, very different had he been able to continue his career. That's just one artist from 1995 that I feel like shows that it's like basically in its own place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like me when I looked back and say, boy, yeah, things really were kind of unique back then. Same with this next artist, another person whose life actually is probably definitely more tragic than Jeff Buckley's, although his dying so young is a tragedy. Jeff had a very interesting life, but Vic Chesnutt got into a car accident. I think it was just, I think it involved alcohol, went off the road and ended up a total paraplegic at the age of 18. Yet he still somehow managed to become a recording artist and started writing songs and getting his songs recorded and singing his material. And he had this way of singing that was so delicate and so like direct. His songs are almost always like very vivid short stories that seemed almost childlike in the way that they were being presented. And I'll tell you, when I first heard of him, I did not know any of his history. I didn't know that he was a paraplegic. I just thought he was like this odd, gentle soul with a weird view of the universe. And knowing it now, you look back and you can hear. So it's so easy to read into his lyrics now and apply it to his life. This album came out before he really had any real degree of fame. He started his recording career because Michael Stipe of REM had heard him at the 40 Watt Club, I believe, in Georgia, and helped him get a recording contract. And he released a few albums, including this one, which came out in 1995, called Is the Actor Happy? And subsequent to this, there was one of those Sweet Relief projects. Like I believe they did one for Victoria Williams for her illness. They did one for Vic Chesnutt, too, called it was Sweet Relief 2. And when you have people like Madonna and Smashing Pumpkins and REM covering your material, it helps a great deal.
Yeah.
So it ended up actually getting him known on a major label, although his career never really did explode. This is long before any of that even happened, though. So it was a real odd sleeper album called Is the Actor Happy? Let's play this track off of it called Gravity of the Situation.
Army motorcade and its abnormal load haulage. The gravity of the situation came on us like a bit of new knowledge. The bubbliest, a bubble bath, broke down on the bank. The gravity of the situation is why our old thought bubble sank. The gravity of the situation. Humble and gracious, the gravity of the situation. Humble and gracious, the gravity of the situation. Humble and gracious, the gravity of the situation. The gravity of the situation.
carcass. The gravity of the situation is hard to focus and harness. Well, we met Bill Lowery at the Queen's Hall. The gravity of the situation became apparent to us all. Humble and gracious, the gravity of the situation. 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 The gravity of the situation.
So when I first heard this album, I just thought that Vic Chestnut was a guy that wrote very delicate, gentle, fragile songs.
Oh, well, he's very grateful in that one.
Yes, although you also recognize, though, that he was also a very delicate and fragile person. I would imagine that his condition had some effect on his state of happiness, especially over time. I remember it was really sad when I woke up one Christmas morning and I heard that they found that he had committed suicide on Christmas Day in 2009. It still bothers me because I considered myself a fan, and there was somehow through this, I guess the overarching sadness that might have been in his songs, I thought I heard a kernel of happiness inside it, like something that reflected, like capturing something about finding meaning in life. And I thought that was quite profound. It really lent his songs a huge amount of weight lyrically for me when I heard them. And it made all of those, like the song we just heard, it resonated on a lot of levels. And I just felt bad, obviously. Still do when I think about it. And for that reason, I guess it's why a song like this next one now is all the more devastating when I hear it. This song is entitled Free of Hope.
Bricks are dirty, lakes are dead. The family dog is mad. Baby brother science speakers are all broken. Now the yard peacocks are all sad. At Columbia University, quote
unquote, he's a tanning beaver pelt. Subtle as a billboard of so refined, smoking up this life of mine, free of hope, free of a past. Thank you, God, and nothing. I'm free at last, free of hope, free of a past. Thank you, God, and nothing.
Incredibly bleak, but also incredibly moving song.
Oh my gosh.
Vic Chestnut, called Free of Hope, from the album Is the Actor Happy? Well, we're going to move now from the bleak to the absolute dire.
Oh, thank you.
I want to make an odd point. If you ever wondered, like, okay, remember that great song from the mid-60s, around 65 or 66, there was that band... They called themselves the Walker Brothers, and they made this really beautiful song that was sort of like, they were easily confused with the Righteous Brothers, because of their productions and the sound of their songs and the beautiful melody of them.
Right.
They had a huge hit called The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore, that made them absolute superstars in their native homes. They were American, but they were living in England, and it was England that embraced them. This is that song. Listen to this track.
The
Now, a lot of people say, like, whatever happened to that guy? You won't.
You're about to find out.
Exactly. He had a very interesting, to say the least. He had this single most interesting career of any human being I have ever studied. There's nobody I can think of on the planet Earth who has had a more bizarre, broad-ranging career. That guy, by 1995, was making solo albums. He was putting them out at the rate of about one every 10 years. It took him about 10 years to pull together these visions, apparently, that he was having that freaked out almost everybody who heard them. In 1995, the album that came out was called Tilt. Here is the opening track from that record. It's called Farmer in the City. Keep in mind, this is the same guy singing lead on The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. Here he is. His name is Scott Walker from the album Tilt, singing Farmer in the City.
This night you are mistaken. I'm a farmer in the city. Dark farmhouses against the sky. Every night I must wonder on the left nail keeps wrinkling and wrinkling. Then higher above me is search from far to far. farmhouses against our eyes. Every night I must realize harness on the left nail keeps withering and withering, then higher above me. Can't go by a man in this shirt, go by a man in that shirt. Can't go by a man with brain grass, go by his long, long eyeglass. And I used to be a citizen, and I never felt the pressure. I knew nothing of the horses, nothing of the thresher. Follow, take me with you. It was a journey.
That is called Farmer in the City, as I said, from the album Tilt by Scott Walker. I promise you that I just picked one of the most accessible songs from that album.
Oh, my God.
It's adventurous, terrifying, frightening, more than a little bit nightmarish, and just so wildly creative, although it is frightening. I love some of the descriptions that I've got here. It's described by AllMusic as indescribably barren and utterly bleak. the song we just heard, the most grotesque vocal ever. Also, quote, divorced from even the outer limits of rock reality.
Of course, this is what you choose to play for us.
I am just so fascinated by this man who basically learned to go from melody to something which is so thoroughly unique, so incredibly internal, for him to get this stuff out of his head And onto like some sort of like recording device stuns me. Let's hear a tiny piece of like one other track. I can't play the whole thing, obviously, but this is another track.
Thank
also
God.
From the album Tilt. This is called The Cockfighter. Let's get a piece of this one.
Is anybody out there?
Is there anybody out there still? Right. I hope Scott shouldn't fight everybody. If it was up to me, I think I'd do an entire series dedicated to this guy's music.
I know you would, but just because someone's freakishly interesting doesn't make it good listening. Just saying.
I just think that anything that is like that thoroughly unique is good, and it's usually interesting in terms of like what he basically. It's not simplistic at all. This is really amazingly
complex stuff.
It's
challenging listening.
Yes.
let's go to something completely different. We'll stay in England, which is where he's been living for the past few years. But we're going to go to a band that was a lot younger. They debuted. Their first album came out this month in May 1995. Being young, they had no problem making references to the Kinks or to the Beatles and tapping into all the other stuff that happened to be happening at that exact same time. And you get this really great sort of really cool English pop sound that I fell in love with in 95. Just easy, fun to listen to. The album is called I Should Coco. That was the name of their debut album. The band is Supergrass. Here's a track called I'd Like to Know. Supergrass, another band that really didn't catch on much in America. Most of their popularity was in Great Britain.
Yeah, I liked them.
As part of that whole Brit pop thing. And it was definitely, you know, time for something completely different after Scott Walker. Although I totally dedicate, you know, a full-fledged fan of Mr. Walker.
You would go out there
absolutely,
on that limb.
He inspires me. There's something about the synapses. Something in my brain. The synapses go off when I listen to his stuff. It's
your
like this.
Your brain lights up.
What is going on with this craziness? I'm glad it's him and not me, you know? It's probably like, it's probably like the same thing that draws people to watch horror movies that pulls me in to listen to Scott Walker. But without all the blood and guts, it's more or less, it's like melodic blood and guts.
Well, he did bring in a carcass to punch in one of his recordings, so. Yeah,
that is true.
There is blood and guts.
He actually does have like one song where the percussion is the sound of somebody repeatedly punching a pig carcass. It's that weird. But let's hear one more from Supergrass, though, from the album I Should Coco. I think that this was one of the singles that came out in Great Britain, not in America, but it was a hit over there. It's called All Right. Supergrass, two from the album called I Should Coco. We are jumping around. I said that what's weird about this is that these things have got virtually nothing in common, and yet they're all very unique to their time. 1995, you hear it and you go, yeah, that was it. And this just makes the year feel so much more exciting to me and varied. I didn't know Scott Walker at that time. I discovered him subsequently. But bam, there he is, planted right there in 95 with Vic Chestnut and Jeff Buckley. And there we just heard Supergrass. So what's another thing that I wasn't into at the time, still learning to love it, is the band Pavement. I'll admit it. I know everybody loves them. I'm working on it. I'm trying. I just find that they're derivative to me, and the weirdness and the deliberate sloppiness. I'm like, what's the point? But their third album was released in May of 95. It was called Wowie Zowie. From that record, let's hear We Dance.
Thank you. There is no castration fear. In a chair, you will be with me. We'll dance, we'll dance, we'll dance, we'll dance. But no one will dance with us in this zany town. Chim, 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 sing a song of praise for your elders. They're in the back. Pick out some Brazilian nuts for your engagement. Check that expiration date, man. It's later than you think. You can't enjoy yourself, I can't enjoy myself. You can't enjoy yourself, I can't enjoy myself. Move that swing and watch it break straight like an arc. But I won't be there to leave you. Oh, oh, oh. Cause I don't have anymore. Maybe we could dance. Maybe we could dance. Maybe we could dance together. 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 Together.
Giving Stephen Malkmus the last word there. That's the type of track that's called We Dance, one of the songs that actually, oddly, because it's not really like a lot of their other stuff, but that was a bit of a gateway song for me because the lyrics made me smile. And well, he maintains a melody and doesn't use noise almost as a weapon. And God knows, it's not like I have a problem with, obviously, I don't have a problem with weird music, you know? I don't think that's what it is. It's just a matter of like, do you do it because, you know, are you just a slacker or are you doing it because it's something what you're trying to do creatively? And it's hard for me to get exactly where Malkmus is at with Pavement, but that song is sort of like a gateway song. It makes me say, you know what, there is something about this band. So which means I'm going to keep listening to Crooked Rain, and Slanted and Enchanted until it begins to sink in, I suppose. Well, we got to go. Yeah, I'll work on that. We add up another hour of your life. I hope that you were at least entertained by the sheer variety of what we were able to play for you, if nothing else. Speaking of variety, Elvis Costello released an album in May of 95, which was essentially a covers album, just him doing a bunch of stuff that he wanted to basically show his own variety of spreading out and doing 1,000 different things. The album is called Kojak Variety, so we'll leave you with this track from that album. It's called Hidden Charms. Meanwhile, count on us being back here on Friday at 5 for the How Music Changed portion of our show, which we do then, and it's going to be based, of course, on the music of Stax Records, which we'll be doing for, I guess, the next few months or so. So hope you can tune in then. Take care, everybody. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Ta-da.
Her lips are sweet, her legs are big. Her looks can make you dance a jig. Her touch is so soft, her heart is so warm. What knocks me out is your hidden charms. Her voice is so soft, her love is so true. I'm thinking about her, that's all I do. She's a weak and wanted in my arms. What moves me, darling, is your
hidden charms. Ooh, what a babe. When I hold you in my arms, brings out all of your hidden charms. Hidden charms.